Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, hello Australia. Welcome to the big Wednesday hump day edition of Kennedy Molloy, a very special show we've got for you today.
It is, and we're paying tribute to our wonderful callers that we've had through the year.
Throughout the year, we've bagged them up, we've put them into segments, and we're going to play them for you throughout the show. Men and women are idiots. They've been some of our favourite sections. We'll play you some of our very best callers.
We will. Bad parenting callers.
That comes up a lot.
It does.
Yes. And between the two of us, mate.
That's right, between the two of us. We've got love and relationship calls. We've got great animals.
Animal kingdom. We'll be doing that. Wedding callers, workplace callers. But don't fret. We will still have a cavalcade of interesting people coming through. We've got Dave Reynolds on the line. He's won the Barry Sheehan Award. He's been with us all year. It's a massive deal. We'll get him on the phone and thank him for his service this year.
And we've also got Lawrence Mooney swinging by. We've got a lot to catch up with him. And in fact, Malcolm Turnbull's going to swing by as well. Now, he might have a lot to answer for following the Victorian election on the weekend.
I wouldn't have thought so.
You wouldn't have
thought
so?
Are you saying it's his fault?
Well, let's find out how Malcolm reacts.
Jeez.
Not me. I'm not saying it's anyone's fault.
All right, we'll do all that. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, we'll get to the bottom of it all on today's big program. But first, I have to ask, how are you?
I'm good. What? I've had a strange discovery. You know, I'm doing renos.
Yes, you are. You are. You've gutted your house.
Well, you go down, you check out, say hi to everyone. Say hi to Harrison, Jace, all the fellas, Charlie down there. And they said, oh, Jane, this is a bit of interesting news. It's pretty, you know, very old house that we're in. There's a lot to rip apart and pull apart, and they've lifted up floorboards and they've said, I think we've found two rooms that you didn't know about.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
I beg your pardon.
Very small.
Two rooms?
Yes, like wallpaper from the olden days.
Any dead bodies?
Well, that's what I was worried about.
Is it an ancient burial ground?
I hope
it is. Please be an ancient burial
ground. I then asked, you didn't find any masks or anything. It wasn't like a weird old house where they had eyes wide shut parties or anything like that.
The Joseph Fritzl room.
I thought so. Anyway, they're going to try and clear it out and see what they can do. But that's an amazing discovery of your hat when you go,
that's
who
unreal.
Knew?
Yeah.
Rob probably knew they were there years ago. They've been quietly working out of them. I'd take this up with him.
You kept that pretty clean, actually.
Little man cave.
Where have you been? Nowhere. Just downstairs.
The man cave.
On the model train.
Tell you what, I think I found my sewing room.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Wow. That's what I'm going to call it.
Oh, cellar.
Yeah.
Two rooms downstairs. Bang. I mean, you've already got, I think you've got a three store. You've got one of those stores that's got a ladder.
We never can store one. It's drunk too quickly.
Well, there you go. What a discovery. I've been hard at it. I've been at the office all day.
Oh, hang on. Now, the office.
Yeah. I've been in high-powered meetings.
Isn't there a brewery or something called The Office?
At the brewery. I was at the brewery.
I'm not a kid.
Wait,
what's going on?
No, it's a planning meeting for next year. It's a structural meeting. Oh. It's on the 51st floor. It's great.
This is what you're getting up to every day. This is your
research. I was on conference calls. I was
researching this show, I hope.
Hmm.
Beer tasting again?
Well, you've got to. That's my... Jane, I'm in the business of beer and I need to come at it from all angles.
You're saying that in a very sophisticated
manner. And I tell you what, I'll be going back there and I could be working back late at the office again tonight. Hey, this is a special show. I'm looking forward to it.
We've been
mucking around, and Marshy, who we know is his top shelf and brilliant, has scoured through some of our callers. I've heard some of these. They're bloody brilliant. We'll get onto it after this, eh?
Excellent. You bet. Big show ahead. Stand by. Our favourite callers of 2018 special. This is Kennedy Molloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
And if you're driving home in Sydney, be very careful.
Yeah, take care.
I hope you've got wipers.
Well, wipers and an umbrella. Well, I don't think an umbrella's come in handy. Plenty of damaged houses. Good luck with your mopping up, everyone.
Hey, could be worse. Hey, now listen, You brought this to the table earlier in the year.
I did.
And
I couldn't help it.
I was hurt at first.
You were at first.
There was a segment called Men Are Idiots.
That's right.
And I said, Jane, we'll struggle to fill that, won't we?
Switchboard lit up.
It lit up. And then afterwards I asked for a right of reply after a couple of months of solid pounding.
Of course.
I said, what about Women Are Idiots? And you deigned to allow us to do the odd Women Are Idiots.
Correct.
Some of our favourite calls came from this segment. Here's just a couple.
Jill?
Hi, how are you?
How are you going, Jill? Who's your idiotic male?
My idiotic male is my brother-in-law.
What did he do?
Well, he was home alone and he thought he'd get off his backside and clean the bottom of the pool. So he put a wetsuit on and he picked up some fairly heavy weighted stones from the garden. He put them inside his wetsuit to jump in the pool to weight him down to get him to the bottom of the pool.
Right. Has he got an exit strategy?
What happened? No, he doesn't have an exit strategy. Any normal person would have undone the wetsuit, got rid of the stone. He walked along the bottom of the pool.
To the shallow end.
Get his head above water. So my sister said to me, we would never have known. The pool would have turned green and...
What ever happened to Phil?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, Jill.
Oh, wow, Jill.
Great call.
Darren.
I am the idiot, yes.
What happened?
Last Friday when it was quite warm, a few of us sitting around a friend's swimming pool having a barbecue with quite a few friends and a couple of the mates said, I dare someone to say to their missus they've got a big bum in those bathers.
Okay,
so, because I had a few.
I can see where this is going.
My missus walked out and I said, have you got our daughter's bathers on?
Oh, Jesus. How did that go for you, Darren?
Well, I really hope she's listening, because if she's listening, Nicole, can I please come back to our marital bed?
Women, that's right.
Disappointingly, there's a lot of female idiots around.
My lovely wife married her 8 years ago, God bless her, when she got her first car.
Yeah.
She was driving it, loving it, all good. And she came home one day and said, Dad, the water doesn't wash me windows anymore. What's happened? How come it's not full? She goes, have you filled it up? She goes, no, doesn't the rain do that?
Women are idiots.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Tatiana, let's go to you.
Lord. Well, my husband works at Crown Casino, and this particular night he was doing the door at the Allan Border Medal.
Yep.
So checking everyone's passes and whatnot. So Allan Border walks up, goes to just walk in. My husband stops him and goes, hang on a minute, where's your pass? Allan Border's like, I don't have one, this is my medal.
Hi, Jim. Who's the idiot that you know?
That would be me.
What do you do, Jim?
I thought it'd be romantic and give the wife a hot rocks massage. So we had some river pebbles outside in the garden, pretty big ones. So I went and got them and put them in the oven to heat them up. And the wife's lying on her stomach and I was sitting at the back of her. So I put the pile of rocks in between sort of my legs.
Yeah.
And as I was putting the rocks on her back, I leant forward and the old boy hit the hot rocks.
Men are idiots.
Hot rocked your dick.
Yes. And now I've got a lovely scar.
What? You've got a scar from your hot rock.
You put them in the oven?
Yes, that's right.
That's how you heat them up.
There's an episode of MasterChef I'm looking forward to. Well done, Jim. Lynn's on the line. Lynn, what have you got for us?
Mick and Jane, my son, he stapled his foreskin to a bar.
What?
Oh, it was a dare.
Right, and you found out because you had to go and pick him up?
No, because one of his mates actually felt the need to show me the video.
Oh.
Lynn.
And they actually used a staple gun and they had to get the staple out with pliers.
Oh.
It's dumb as you know what.
Lynn, I rest my case.
You know what's funny about that? but not only as this
don't
guy,
tell me you did it, man.
No, well, let's not rule it out. this guy stapled his foot into the bar, but all his other mates have sat around and videoed it laughing.
This is ridiculous.
Last drinks, everyone. Last drinks. Right, you got to go. I can't. Staple.
It's the noise that is ringing in my ear too when it's done.
He's a regular, that guy.
Yeah.
Seems to always be here.
Thanks, everyone, for those idiotic calls.
How good was that, Dave?
This is Kennedy Malloy.
That's right, and if you're driving home in Sydney, be careful. We've got our girl out on the street. Let's cross now to get the latest weather update. Hello?
Don't make unnecessary journeys. Don't take risks on treacherous roads. And don't swim in the sea. Incredibly, people have been spotted in the water here in Blackrock and Salt Hill both today and yesterday. Galway City Council say they're are idiotic. Not only are they putting their lives in danger, but it is unacceptable and unforgivable to put the lives of people in the rescue services at danger as well.
All right, count
all right, so stay out of Bondi Beach, all right, everyone?
Get indoors. Go and get warm,
exactly.
Woman.
All right, what are we going to go to now? We've got these callers.
I think we have. We both love animals.
We do.
And we sit here and we talk about them nonstop, yes. On air, off air. It's my favourite segment on our show is...
Yep.
Mick and Jane Gone Wild.
Yep.
And we've covered a fair bit of ground and people love it. The phones ring off the hook. Here's some of our favourite calls. Now, the first one I just want to point out was from a segment called Make Jane Cry.
It's a very classy show, this, really, isn't it?
You came in the morning and you said, oh, I tell you, I'm just going to let you know now, I'm a bit dicey. I could go up today. And I'm going, oh, bang. That sounded like
in
a challenge.
In fact, I think you did rub your hands together.
So we had a segment called Make Jane Cry, and this was the first caller is one of the callers from that segment. Hello, Nathan. How are you, mate?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Hi, Nathan.
Nathan, have you seen anything in your travels that you think might make Jane cry?
I've seen heaps of stuff that make Jane cry, but I'll tell you one.
Yeah.
So I was driving down my street one day, and I drive down it all the time, and there's two galahs, or the corallas, or some bird like that, and they're always feeding together, these two.
Yeah.
And anyway...
Because they mate for life.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. And then... I was driving home one day and there was a car in front of me and it smacked one of them and feathers go everywhere and then I was pretty spewing about it. I was a bit sad and I thought, oh, gee, that's horrible. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I'm driving back past there. I hadn't gone past a few weeks because I moved there to Mum's joints. Yep. And then I was driving back up there one day and the partner of the bird was still sitting by the road next to the dead bird. The other one.
No!
Nathan,
Jane, he's looking for his You're an mate. Asshole, Nathan.
Hey, Nathan, you get a prize.
Yeah.
You made Jane cry.
Cinema voucher for you, $100 gold class style,
first
Nathan.
First one.
Well done. Awesome.
That's
terrible. Thanks, guys.
Love it.
Well done, Nathan.
Weird things your dog does.
Let's hear from Vanessa.
Okay, so my nana had this dog called Smutty, and he was Smutty. So he used to only steal my knickers out of the dirty laundry basket, chew the crutch out of them, and then discard them around the neighbourhood.
You sure Lawrence Mooney wasn't your neighbour?
Well, I think it would have been a lot funnier if he was. And just quickly, nana also, he was a fox terrier, fully, you know, intact.
They're a good
so
sniffer dog.
So when we went to the beach... Now you used to have to put zinc cream on his testicles to stop
okay. Well, you're giving him mixed messages, aren't you? Rubbing zinc on his balls and telling him not to eat your underwear.
I refused to put the zinc on. It was Nana.
Nana.
It's not a job for a girl.
No, it's not.
God bless my Nana.
Yeah, God bless her. Smudgy.
God love her.
Hello, George.
Now, I had a Labrador. He's passed away now, but this bugger, he was a glutton. And early one morning while I'm getting bread and milk at the local milk bar and I'm in there paying, a bakery van has pulled up. The guy's opened up, taken out his tray, and while he's dealing with the milk bar owner, said dog decided, thank you very much. And for the 10 minutes that he was alone in that back of that bakery van, he destroyed it.
He got a van.
Are you telling me a Labrador got into a pastry van?
Absolutely. Oh, there was cream everywhere. But the best part about it is the look on his face as I'm dragging him out, man, it meant the world to him. That was the best thing ever.
Best day ever.
A few years ago, I'm driving along the road and there's four little ducklings on the road.
They're trying
to get up onto the nature strip, but they couldn't because the gutter was so big. And they were on their own. So I thought, I've got to do something about this. So I stopped and I'm lifting them up and suddenly this spider duck comes out of nowhere. It starts swooping me, swatting at me, trying to peck me in the head. It chased me for about 30 metres and would not back off. That duck's listening. Take better care of your kids.
Hey, Jay.
Well said, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. And we might have Jay with the last word about ducks.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Jay. What's happened to you with ducks?
I was at a mate's house and he calls me up. He's come over, so I've gone over. I didn't know he bought a few ducks.
Anyways. You wouldn't have gone if you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, so I'm thinking ducks are, you know, they're nice, but apparently not so. Oh, so I got in the backyard and he's all hanging out in the back. And then there's three ducks standing in a line in front of me. And I go, well, what's going on here? Anyway, and then the middle duck just started charging. So I'm going around and around. He lives on the main street. So I'm coming out of the backyard going sideways. I thought the ducks have left me alone. Anyway, out of nowhere, this comes Michael Schumacher around the fence. And this guy just started chasing. And then his other mate come around then. I didn't know what to do. So I'm just running down the street getting chased by three ducks.
Oh, man.
Oh, we could have gone on. There's so many great animal stories. Thank you, everybody, especially the members of the audience that we played then.
We love it.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We are doing our favourite calls of the year special today on Kennedy Malloy.
Just hey, by the way, up the flagpole, would you, Dave?
Yeah, you bet. By the way, Dave Reynolds not too far away. We're going to catch up with him.
I can't wait to speak
but
to
we,
Dave.
But we a little mixed bag of calls. Check this out.
Dave, what's the heckle or sledge that you remember?
Yeah, I played a lot of footy, and just near the end, I started to put on a few pounds.
Yep.
As you'll do. Play full forward, and I've dropped a mark in the goal square. It's a pretty big game. And the ball was being cleared, it kicked in from full back, and the crowd was quiet, and one little voice, I think it was a young kid, yelled out, bet you wouldn't have dropped that if it was a bag of donuts.
Not bad.
Plenty of people have dropped their car in for a service and something dodgy has happened to it while it's there.
Took me brand new Camaro when there were no Camaros on the road. That's how long ago this was. Took it in for its first service. Got a phone call saying, oh, your car's been totaled. And I went, what? Oh, they said they gave it to the apprentice to do the Macca's lunch run.
Oh, no! What body parts you're hanging on to?
When I was a teenager, I really liked this boy and I had the fluff from his belly button in a locket.
Oh, that's you, Kathy. Hi. It's been a while. Hi, Kathy.
Mixed fluff.
Can I have that back?
Yeah. Kathy, what the hell is wrong with you?
What was I thinking?
Have you still got it, Kathy?
I think I have.
Oh, my
no.
God.
How many boyfriends have you had? Have you got enough fluff to get a quilt together?
give you a cushion.
Yeah.
Kathy, that's gross. Thanks for calling.
Talking about what part of the body is it that gets you going, gets your juices flowing?
It has to be calf muscles.
Hello.
Maddie.
You've come to the right place.
Oh, my God,
this is
Maddie.
My thing.
I'm serious. Just through the break.
I have massive calf muscles.
Mick was telling me how good his calf muscles were, so much so he pulled up his jeans and exposed me to them.
Oh.
And you know what she tried to do? Slip a 20 down my sock. That's well, how.
I'm guessing they weren't skinny jeans.
Oh, Maddie, I love your style.
Maddie gets a prize.
Crikey.
You're well suited to Mick.
Maddie, would you like me to send you a
calf pick?
A CP. CP, which is a calf pick. Ladies, careful, adults only.
Stand back.
Don't lock up your daughters. These calf muscles are out of control. Sometimes just watching sport is not enough. Sometimes you need a ritual.
I've been known on the MotoGP to straddle the arm of my couch as if I'm riding a motorbike. And when they do those point of view camera, on my lean side.
That's awesome.
We were talking ridiculous purchases.
Marcus, what did you buy?
Back in the 90s, I was working up in Hayman Island and we were doing a lot of flying back and forth, so I thought I'd splash out and buy a life membership to a airline lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Ansett.
Marco, told a bit of a lie lately?
Well, it wasn't me, and I can't say names, to be honest. You know why. A mate of mine had a fake indoor soccer team that every Wednesday they told their wives they were going to soccer. They'd be going to the pub, take their soccer bag, and every Wednesday they'd go to the pub. Nobody gets better.
What?
They had an interview trip as well. And for the piece of resistance, they actually made fake trophies. They won the league.
Oh, they said they won. Phone addiction. It's real and it's happening everywhere.
My wife would be.
Yeah?
Right. Why?
Well, I came home from work the other day. She's sitting on the couch on Facebook. Came into the kitchen, asked her a question. She didn't answer, so I texted her the question. And it took about 7 or 8 text messages before she realised I was in the kitchen.
Tell you what, these calls for Give Them a Spray have not stopped ringing for the last half hour.
People are mad. People are angry.
Tom's particularly mad. What's got your goat, Tom?
Those damn nanny state organisers of the local primary school,
yeah,
who, after I volunteered to cook the sausages on the barbecue, sent me an online test to make sure that I know how to do it. And asked me questions about what causes salmonella. I don't bloody know. I just know how to cook the sausage on the barbecue.
I'm just cooking snacks.
No! That's insane, Tom.
Do you reckon they get the guys out the front of Bunnings, one of those?
No, they don't.
They trust that you can cook a friggin' snag. Talking faux pas, yep, because basically we've all done them. There's a few out there.
Let's go to Anthea. What happened to you?
I was a midwife in a hospital in Melbourne.
Yep.
And I was helping a new mum breastfeed, and she had a couple of people in the room. But anyway, so I was showing her and the hubby how to breastfeed and a bit of hands-on, you know, a bit of expressing needed.
Sure.
And I was getting him involved. Oh. And when they left the he left the room, he said to me, "That was my brother."
Oh, wow, India, that's just terrible.
I had a feeling that's where that was
heading. Oh, I didn't know where it was heading, but that was just took me by surprise. Thank you.
Oh, wow. That.
I remember that.
It's going to be an awkward family meeting every time. I like the call about the boys who set up their own soccer team, had an end-of-season trip and won the trophy.
It's just the trifecta.
It reminds me of the story of the guys, I think it was in London, and he wanted to go out with the boys, so he faked his own kidnapping.
Oh.
So but then they decided they wanted money, so then they left a ransom note to his wife as well. So apparently now he's out with the boys and she's paying for it. I thought, gee, that is there's a stroke of genius in there.
Brilliant.
These are our favourite callers of 2018. Up next, though, Dave Reynolds joins us.
Your new way to drive home. Malloy.
There's been many regular guests on our show this year, none more beloved than the great Dave Reynolds. He's on the phone now. Dave, we just want to say congratulations on winning, I think it's back-to-back, the Barry Sheen medal.
Yes.
Is that back-to-back?
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
All right. Stop standing so blasé about it.
No, I won the driver's driver as well. I paid all the drivers and the media people to vote for me.
You did. Now, you're being modest, Dave.
Well done, Dave Reynolds.
Now, this was at the Supercars Gala in Sydney on Monday night.
Yep.
And, of course, you're attended with your beautiful girlfriend, Tahan, who looks stunning.
The brains
looks
of the outfit, good. I call her. The brains of the outfit, yes.
And in a year, too, that has been highs and lows, this is a good way to end the year, yeah?
Yeah, it's a great way to end the year. It's a good way to finish the year, but I'm still pretty dusty. I had a massive one on Monday night.
I was going to say, I was going to guess that Tahan may have been driving to and from from the venue. He had a massive one. How many shoeies is that?
Yeah.
How many shoeies is a big night?
Not many for me, but I'm a cheap drunk. I'm not my tolerance to alcohol is pretty low, but I enjoy the effect of it, so, yeah.
Well, good on you, Dave. We just wanted to check in. Thank you for being part of the show. Mate, we're going to catch up for a beer in the next couple of weeks. We're going
to
murder a few in the beer garden of the local establishment.
And of course, you kept off a good year too because you won Newcastle 500 on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I took the last race home.
Good for you.
It was funny for that one, wasn't it? Because the bloke who won it, he came second, and I could see you up there. You've won the race. You're going, you're not getting a lot of love at this moment. I'm going, geez, what do you have to do?
Oh, yeah. I know. It's all about the championship, but...
It is, but...
Yeah, he gave it to me, but if he didn't, I was probably going to crash into him anyway and he was going to lose the championship, so he was kind of smart.
Well, when I see you to celebrate, we'll get a bottle of champagne and we'll tip it over each other's heads. What
we
about
will.
That?
And you might want to speak also to Tom, because I have seen some Insta story footage of you possibly dancing on the dance floor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's good. No. Yeah, go have a look.
It didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't happen.
You're not winning any awards in that department, let me tell you. Good on you, Dave. Thanks for all your support during the year, mate. We'll catch up soon.
V8 supercar champion Dave Reynolds joining us there. Hey, we're doing our favourite call. Oh, he's a ripper.
That's my highest award.
I agree.
Bloody good bloke.
And Kennedy Malloy's own. We're claiming him.
Yeah, let's get your beady eyes off him. All right, what have we got here?
All right, it's our favourite callers of the year special. And we're talking about weddings and proposals here.
Brody, tell us how your special way that you did a proposal.
Well, I was on the beach in Adelaide and took my missus down to the beach for a bit of a fish. We were on holidays and
lucky her.
Went for a fish off with some lures and hopped down on one knee, opened my tackle box and asked her what lure she'd like. And she said, I don't know, just a lure, you know, any will do. I said, oh, how about this one, and put a ring out for her.
That's awesome.
And when you said you opened the tackle box, you are actually referring to
it wasn't euphemistically.
A tackle box, yeah.
Janet, boot this baby home. How did you get proposed to?
Well, I'm with a very, very romantic fellow, tradie in his 40s, and we've been together for quite a while.
Well, you're the winner.
I mean, just after dinner one night, we didn't live together or anything, but, you know, we had a bit of talk about maybe we should make it official because I'm too old to be someone's girlfriend. And partner sounds like you're a cowboy. Anyway,
on
Captain
you,
Romance comes out and goes, we might as well get married. We're not going to split up.
there's your Triple M proposal. Take that.
Did you call him Captain Romance?
Oh, I always call him Captain Romance.
Oh.
So what happened? Thing. And you said, oh, yeah, I suppose so.
No, well, when I got on the phone, they said, do you remember what you had for tea? And I said, no, but I do know the date because it was the day Michael Jackson died. Anyway, we've done the right thing and we've gone around to see Mum and Dad, you know, in 70s by that stage, and we've announced, you know, that we're going to make it official, and Dad got a bit emotional and said, I'll never forget this day.
Aww.
Michael Jackson died.
What crap ring did you get?
Did you get a cheapie?
All right.
Were you happy together? With it? Brendan?
How you going, legend?
Good. What did you have to do?
Mate, I spent 4 weeks thinking I was doing the right thing. Proposed. She said, yep, but that's not big enough.
she's talking about the ring, not your penis.
The ring, Mickey, the ring. So she decided she'd keep that one, and I had to go buy another one that she approved of.
I was going to say, so she said, that's not big enough, but I'll keep it anyway. Go get another one. Yeah. So you had to buy two engagement rings.
Yep.
Ooh, are you still together?
Yeah.
Did it make her happy?
Nothing does. She's a female.
I want to find out, as Mick does.
Yeah, I want to get to the bottom of this.
What is going on at the moment in the world of hens? Tell us about a hens you were at.
My girlfriend was from New Zealand, so we ordered her a stripogram and he came dressed as a sheep. he crawled into the party.
And what, you sheared him? What happened?
Proceeded to take off all the sheep's gear except the sheep's head. He left that to the last. And when he took it off, my girlfriend turned around and she goes, oh, my God, I used to work at Tucker Bag with you.
She recognised the sheep stripper.
And then they put the Tucker Bag on his head. It was the guy from the head.
Off like a bat out of hell.
Oh, what are the chances?
I couldn't even come back to take everything off.
I used to work at Tucker Bag with you.
What happened at the wedding you went to?
It was actually a wedding that I worked at. I used to work for a catering company at a vineyard.
Yeah.
And the bride and groom went missing. They sort of started their honeymoon a little bit early in the vine.
Oh, in the vine.
And the bride actually came up and knocked on the kitchen window because she couldn't find her wedding dress. She was too drunk. So my manager actually asked me to give my spare shirt to her so she'd have something to wear.
What was she wearing when she approached you? What was she wearing?
Just wedding lingerie.
So her dress was somewhere.
She's a keeper, by the way.
Her dress was somewhere amongst the vines.
Even better. So we had to go and try to find the wedding dress. We ended up finding the groom wearing the veil with no pants in the vine.
Steve, what's your bridesmaid bride story?
So, bloke dated three sisters.
married the mum, the three sisters were in the bridal party.
No.
Sorry, I can't follow. What, say
okay.
it again.
His mate.
Married.
Went out with three sisters at different stages.
Yes. Correct.
Ended up marrying the mum of the three sisters. The
correct.
Three sisters were in the bridal
we
party.
We have a winner. We have a winner.
$100 fuel voucher for you, Steve.
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Steve. That's right. Cray, mate.
It is. It was incredible.
Good times and laughs all round.
Wow, yeah. What a family photo.
Yes.
Family photo.
Love it.
These are our favourite callers for 2018 special. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, yes. You mentioned at the start of the show you're doing extensive renovations on your house.
Yes, we've got a very old house and it's all bluestone foundations. It was built in the 1850s sometimes.
Wow. Old in the same way Westminster Abbey or Buckingham Palace is old.
This not bit, like that. Decrepit springs to mind.
Right.
And in part of the renovation, I was there today with the guys and it's quite a shell. Because, you know, the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've actually lifted up the whole kitchen and found underneath two small rooms that we had no idea existed. There's old wallpaper on the wall, like peeled off wallpaper. Yeah. There's a lot of pink bats.
I've been living there for a couple of years.
Well, that's what I thought. I was very worried that they might find something gruesome.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They still haven't looked properly
yet. Some bones
yet.
Would be great. I'd love your house to be haunted.
Or something
or
more interesting. Who knows? But it's not uncommon. In fact, Lee's on the phone now, has called up. Hello, Lee.
Good afternoon, guys.
How are you going? Hi. Now, you found something under your house that's a little more sinister than pink bats and what I found.
Definitely. My husband was under the house fixing an air conditioning duct, and as he pulled the duct off, he was calling me, and I'm wondering what he's calling. I thought something had gone wrong. I got down under the house, and he's pointing a gun at me.
What? He's got a gun.
It's the last we ever heard of you.
But then it got even weirder, because as I approached and had a look where he pulled the gun out from, there was a sheet of clear plastic and a whole heap of men's underwear under there.
Oh dear. Well, yeah.
Oh, dear. I think I used to live there.
Either Meek Malloy used to live in that house or something bad's happened. Now, are you still living there, Lee?
We are. Oh, okay. But it was interesting to go back through the title because the original owner did sign it over from Pentridge Jail to
the The plot thickens. Very interesting.
The walls could talk. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah. I bought into a pub recently and it's still undergoing...
How unusual.
surprise.
Go figure.
Extensive renovations.
Yes.
And back in the olden days, it used to be like a speakeasy and it was run by bookies and underworld types, and it is hilarious. But every time, so we were upstairs, and there's a bathroom and there's a shower, and you turn the knob, and the whole tile wall pulls away,
a secret wall,
and goes downstairs into a storeroom.
Oh.
I kid you not. There's a step that if you open it up, it'll
That's
take you into. A,
I love that stuff.
Now we aren't the only ones who are onto it because people break in and lift up floorboards all the time. I think people are convinced
that there's
there
older
might be
houses.
Some stashed around.
They found also. Did you hear the story about Starage Wars guy Dan Dotson? He sold a $500 unit. But accidentally hidden inside, the new owners discovered, $7.5 million.
Ching.
And I'm, well.
That's better than men's underpants and
that
a gun.
That is much better than rubble and men's underpants. The new owners, though, have handed it over.
Good on them. Idiots. Yeah. All right, there it is. When we come back, the late, great Malcolm Turnbull.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Here we go, muchachos. It's going to be a massive hour. We're going to continue playing some of our favourite calls. We're going to talk bad parenting.
I love that segment.
You featured it in a minute.
So do you, don't worry.
We'll talk love and relationships.
Oh.
There you can go and get yourself a cup of coffee during that. Dave, we're going to meet our old chum, Lawrence Mooney, but we should start at the top.
Well, we're very interested to talk to this man.
I think a lot of people in the country want to hear what he has to say.
Bloke. He is causing trouble.
And that is former Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Malcolm Turnbull. Good afternoon, Mr. Turnbull.
Good afternoon to you, Jane Kennedy, and to you, Michael Molloy, and to you, Dangerous, in your family. Hello. Oh,
what's the weather like at Point Piper? Are you underwater?
What's happening?
We're under siege. Sydney, last week it was blowing red dust through here from the drought-stricken west, and now we've had a year's rainfall in one day. It's flooded all over the place. People out at Hornsby are suffering terribly. I've never been there and never will.
You haven't soaked your Italian loafers, have you?
No, I there was a loafer left out on the patio.
A rogue loafer.
And it's a little bit soggy, yes.
What about canoeing? You would have taken the canoeing off the table, or the kayaking?
Well, you know, they say after a very heavy downfall in Sydney, you don't go out onto the harbour lest you want to run into a Bondi cigar, as they say. A big mojito with a bit of corn in it.
All right, Mr. Turnbull, what did you make of the Victorian election result? It was a shocker for the coalition.
The Liberal Party are in a parlous state, and I could not be happier. I mean, I don't think I've been so aroused since the 17% swing against the Liberal Party in Wentworth. What a night it was. Anthony Green was absolutely frothing.
Well, he called it very early, didn't he?
Didn't he?
Oh, wow, yes. It was about 6 minutes past six.
I don't know. A premature election, Paul. Premature election.
Yes.
And, but I've just been so happy because, of course, I was throwing money at independents in Victoria as well. It's just going so beautifully at the moment. I think the Liberal Party will actually implode and fail to exist. I mean, yesterday, what's her name?
Across the...
She used to be...
Jackie...
What's her name?
She's one of the women.
Jackie...
You've only got a couple of women. You should be able to name them.
No, I've got
Jackie...
It.
Jackie... Mills? Right. Wills.
Lisa,
Walker.
Was it Lisa?
No one knows. I mean, no one knows her name.
Was it Maggie?
Maggie Thatcher.
Julia Banks.
You win a prize, Jane.
Wow.
That is appalling that we didn't know that.
Well,
anyway.
I did tweet about it, actually, so I'm appalled at myself.
What it says to me, Jane, is that the people love me. I mean, the results.
Really?
In Wentworth, in Victoria.
How are you coming out of this?
Because Daniel Andrews, God bless him, is all talking about road and rail and hospitals. But it's the Turnbull backlash that has won Victoria that election.
Well, everyone's got a theory on this. Everyone's got a theory. What about ScoMo? I know you've got your beefs against Tony Abbott. We know that you do. But ScoMo, you wouldn't put him in that bag. He's just like the happy guy who lucked in, isn't he? He compared himself to Daniel Andrews. Do you think that's valid?
Well, he did compare himself to Daniel Andrews on the floor of the Parliament, Michael. He said that there's another leader in this country who is responsible for good economic management infrastructure and who has a great, you know, popularity in the polls. It's me. Oh. And I nearly threw up into my own gob. I mean, comparing yourself to Daniel Andrews, first of all, ScoMo, I don't think Daniel Andrews pooped himself in the Engadine McDonald's in 1997 after the Sharks lost in the Super League Grand Final.
Is that apocryphal? Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
There were a lot of people in the Engadine McDonald's that night.
Well, I don't think we'll be calling ScoMo anymore. I think he's going to say, I'm better be called Scott Morrison. He's getting a bit angry and a bit mean at the moment, I think. He's pulling his socks up.
He's going to chuck it. He's going to turn back some boats, even our own.
Yeah.
He's sure.
Just to be spiteful.
He's Sean Penn in Dead Man Walking. I mean, you know, Susan Sarandon's going to pop her out of the PMO and go, "It's time, buddy, for your lethal injection."
Now, just quickly, have you got your Christmas tree up? What are your plans for Christmas and what's happening at Point Piper?
We love a great party at Point Piper.
Oh, observe.
As you know, I'm a devout Catholic, so I love to observe the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you go caroling or anything?
I love Good King Wenceslas, my favourite. When the poor man is out gathering winter fuel. Well, I mean, there you go. Stop whinging about being poor and get out and collect your own fuel.
Stop whinging about being poor.
Now, that's enough.
Now, I'll tell you what happens on Christmas Day at my place. I'm head chef. I'm in charge
of
everything.
Do you carve the turkey?
Well, actually, we often have a tadukken.
Of course you do.
We put the chicken inside the duck inside the turkey.
Of course.
But this year we're going to have a pheasant. We're going to put a chicken inside a pheasant inside a turkey. It's an IKEA joke. You can work it out yourself.
I like it.
Now, I'll tell you what happens. Later in the day, we have Christmas Parliament. I ring the bells. We pass a motion, cross the floor, knock on the door of the lower house with the usher of the black rod, stack the branches and stuff the ballot box. So,
there you go.
That's a lovely afternoon with Lucy.
I hope it's a great Christmas for you.
And thank you for being part of Kennedy Malloy this year too.
It's always been a real joy to me, and I'm glad that you're still reaching out even though I'm the former Prime Minister of this country.
Mind.
Good
we
on you.
That.
We love it.
Happy Christmas to you all.
Thank you.
All right, well done.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
And for the final time this year on the show, great mate Lawrence Mooney joins us.
Right, well, I'm sorry, a bit great mate. I don't know. Yes. He's a colleague, and we enjoy his company.
We love him.
Oh, yeah, and you've written a couple of character references for court appearances, and
comes in handy.
And so I can get into hotels.
Hey, Loz, we have loved
us with
it.
Great,
you have.
Your apology is possibly the funniest thing. out of everything, I do love it.
We didn't actually play that, Mick.
I've got it on my phone. I play it to everyone who'll listen.
Now, I know that there's a deep affection for me on the show.
There is.
I could have been cruelly snatched away last Friday.
What?
I flew into Perth to do a show on Saturday night. I arrived on Friday. I was late out of Sydney because I had the big dust storms.
Mm.
And so halfway across, I knew I wasn't going to, or my management knew I wasn't going to make the corporate that I was meant to make because we'd been delayed.
Oh, that's distressing.
But the people I was going to do a corporate for, they cancelled the transfer from Perth Airport. So when I arrived, I got a message saying they knew you weren't arriving, so they've turned the transfer around. So I had to get a cab.
They've left you stranded at the airport.
But did they think you were not coming and they just went off?
They knew the plane was late, yeah?
They knew the plane was late.
Oh, because
it's not long.
But you were still flying there.
He's on the plane. He's turned up to do the gig.
But it's not my fault. Anyway, so that was fine.
There's a phrase you don't hear often from Lawrence Mooney.
That's true.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It was really good to be able to roll up and think, that's not my fault. You know, it's the wind.
Yeah. That is terrible behaviour to cancel, to cut you off and leave you.
Yeah, cut me off.
What do they want you to do, sleep at the airport or something?
So anyway, so I go to the taxi rank there, line up. I'm in bay number 3. The car pulls up. Can see the guy's on his phone. So I go and pop the boot. I put in one suitcase.
Yeah.
I've got a little shell case with a sound system in it. Go to pick up my other suitcase. Reverse. Bang! Into the car behind me.
But you're standing there.
Yeah, and I just jump out of the way. Wow. I feel him coming back.
But people have been killed that way.
Stuart Appleby's wife was killed that way, but the car was coming from behind her and the guy went to brake and he accelerated.
Did he know it was you?
Well, this is the very interesting thing.
It wasn't Malcolm Turnbull, was it?
No, right, he's gone. That's the moon man. You're right.
Did you handle it really calmly?
Yes, I did. I was remarkably calm.
Okay.
I've been reading The Courage to Be Disliked, the self-help book of the moment.
Yes, it is.
And I've always had that courage, especially at some corporates after about 13 standard drinks of wine. So
what happened then?
The cabbie behind me was the one that was angry. He jumped out and he was swearing at this guy. He's like saying, get off your effing phone. You could have cut his legs off. And I thought, geez, he could have cut my legs off. Now, the courage to be disliked is all about take a different perspective. If you take the opportunity to get angry, it's because you wanted to get angry way before that incident.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So why? It's nothing to do with this incident.
Yep.
So what I had to do was celebrate having legs. I said to the African taxi driver, further confusing him, thank you for my legs. And he goes, I don't understand. And I said, my legs. Thank you for my legs.
which is
like a traditional.
I'm with you.
It's a traditional African greeting.
Thank you for my legs.
From the Lion King, I think.
Thank you to the corporates for not providing me a car. Thank you, taxi driver, for not.
And then
thanks
so you're
for the
in
wind
Perth.
In Sydney.
So what'd you do? Did you go out? Did you head to the Crown Entertainment Complex?
Thank you, Johnny Walker.
Thank you, Johnny Walker.
Thank you, Johnny Walker.
Not for my legs. Thank you for taking the legs that are good away from me. Just before I go,
I know,
Mick, you've got a list of significant women there.
I do. Those are on my radar, yes.
And
ones I'd like to court.
One of the great exports in this country, apart from, iron ore and education, is drug mules. We've created some of the best over the years. Let's go back to 1982 with a 86 with a bullet, Barlow and Chambers.
Oh,
yeah. Sadly, no longer with us.
Good Chappelle name for a law Corby. Firm, isn't it? Barlow and Chambers. Yes, who else?
We've got the Barley Nine, of course. They can't all tour. It's just Renee. Okay. But Cassie Sainsbury, she's
on my list.
Bogota.
She's actually on my list. Five kilograms.
Cocaine Cassie. Yeah. Cocaine Cassie. I mean, Corby and Renee
Corby's
Lawrence.
On it too.
Marijuana and heroin, you know. Cocaine Cassie. It's a party drug. Good on her. Well done. In headphones. Who doesn't love that? We're celebrating.
The law, apparently.
Yeah, the law. I mean, I don't see the lighter side of these things. But Cocaine Cassie is banged up in Bogota. They have a day in the prison there called Mercedes Day, ironically, where they celebrate being a prisoner. And
named
it's a massive
after Mercedes
pageant.
Corby.
And Cassie Sainsbury, yeah. Cocaine Cassie, went along dressed as Madonna to the pageant. Right. They brought in a dress for her, a wig. I think, you know, it was somebody else's fantasy, but right. Cassie says that as a result of that, she has fallen in love with an inmate at the prison. And so
she's not divulging whether it's a male or a female.
We know it's a female. It's orange is the new black. It is just.
Can I say something just as a point, an sure. obvious point? Why would you allow a jail to people to bring in wigs and disguises and actively dress up as someone else?
Well,
when the whole idea is you can't sneak out.
Having just watched El Chapo and all those series, they're a little bit lenient in Colombia. And
Cocaine Cassie's. You know when I thought her whole story fell down.
When?
I was believing everything, including the fact that she's been
personal
paid.
Trainer.
She's a personal trainer. I just went okay.
Chunky PT.
Yeah.
Who doesn't
the
love
personal
a chunky
trainer.
PT?
What part of this story doesn't ring
it
true?
The PT.
Hey, Lawrence Mooney, thank you for your fine service over the course of the
year. We'll see you next year.
I look forward
to have a great break, guys.
Hooking up for a couple of jars over the summer with you, sir.
Love it.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jay thought I was having a stroke.
No, you said you thought you were, so I've got the signs.
It felt like something was about to burst in my head, so I casually mentioned it, and Jane's gone to the app.
Yeah. Of course I have, because I'm responsible.
What are the signs for stroke?
Check their face. Check their face. Has their mouth drooped? I can't tell. Arms. Can they lift both arms? Well, you're always whinging. You've got one sore shoulder.
Sore shoulder.
Speech. Is there speech slurred? When is it not? Do they understand you? No, never.
You are terrible.
Time's critical.
Time's critical. Yeah. All right.
You're all right?
I got time on my side.
You have? Okay.
I'm indestructible.
You are indestructible. And we're going to play some of these great calls. These are the best of our bad parenting calls.
Bad parenting is my favourite segment. We're after stupid dad behaviour.
Mm. Dave, are you aware of any stupid dad behaviour?
Yes, I am. Coming from the bush, guys. Yeah. My old man used to do a bit of shooting. So at the age of, say, 6 or 7, I was at the right height for Dad to place his gun across my shoulder as a brace.
Oh, no.
Now, what could possibly go wrong with that?
Well,
oh,
Dad,
my
Jane,
God.
I can't hear you. I'm a bit deaf. What's going on?
Bad parenting.
Caroline, who was it?
It was my grandmother. My grandmother was a bad parent. She was in the shop with my mum. My mum was 9 years old. My mum was being a brat and banging the counter. And grandmother said to my mum, "You keep doing that, I'll wallop you once."
Yes.
And she was talking to the assistants and bang, 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 bang. And she's just gone whack, hooked up. And there's my mum in another aisle and she's hit the wrong kid. And she's just turned around to this other mother. She says, "I'm so sorry." And the other mother's just gone, "No worries, she deserved it."
It was a simpler time.
Hey, Trish.
I work in childcare.
Oh, dear.
Once a child brought a sparkly lighted up vibrator in a Barbie dress for show and tell.
Oh. Trish.
Good heavens.
Okay. And
how did that go down with the other kinder teachers?
When we saw it coming towards us and it was moving, we told the child that it was such a special show and tell that no one could touch it and that they should put it straight back in their bag. And then I had to call Mum and tell her that something that might be found in her top drawer was...
Are you missing anything?
Trish.
I would have loved to have gone to the parent-teacher night.
She didn't look me in the eye for a few months.
Oh, Barbie, battery sold separately.
Annie.
You know those forms you get from the school when the kids are doing, you know, walks or runs and things like that, and you've got to get some people to sponsor you.
Did one for the Heart Foundation a week ago.
Yeah. So we said to my son that we'd sponsor him and filled out the form, $25, put the credit card thing on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, he added a few zeros.
What? Oh, no.
What?
We questioned him afterwards because we couldn't understand why $2,500. And he basically added it on because the kid that raised the most, you know, sponsorship money would get a free GoPro.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's certainly not worth $2,500 for a GoPro, is it?
I could have bought five of them. Yeah. It was just so,
Annie,
awful.
Can I say you're raising a little white-collar criminal there?
I am. I'm really
sad. So did you get the money back? Like, were you able to
We rang the school and we explained it to them. I mean, I was also so embarrassed.
Which is a bit awkward.
I didn't want him to have some sort of embarrassing situation because I'd already threatened to call the cops.
Did you have to give the GoPro back?
Yes.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What happened to you? Why are you a bad parent?
Oh, look, my son was playing tennis. School went back and came home and complained about a sore back and sore chest.
Yeah.
Didn't worry about him. Send him off to school the next day. He rode 5 kilometres to school.
Oh, it's good for him, yeah.
Kept ringing me during the day saying he had a pain in his chest. I said, I don't care. Get home. Rode his bike home.
Yep.
Rang again. And then I said, look, when your father gets home, tell him to take you to the doctors. So the father took him to the doctors about 5 o'clock that afternoon. He rings me and he says, guess where we are? I said, where? And he said, in an ambulance going to the hospital. He's got a collapsed lung.
Oh, Caroline. A grade bad parenting.
And you made him ride his bike to and from school.
Oh, yeah.
Leone, what is it you're world champion of?
A bit of hide and seek.
Hide and seek. So how good are you?
When I play with my family, I've been banned to play with my kids because they end up whimpering and think they've lost their mum. You take it too far. And I'm in it to win it.
I don't want
them to find me. I've got to breathe, you know. You slow your breathing down so that they can't see you moving. And
Can you go under a doona and they just wouldn't know you were there?
I disguise my body so if there's a washing pole, then half of me goes under the washing pole and then my legs go into a box and...
Oh, genius.
Do you have like an alias, like a fake ID ready to skip town?
We got a prize for Leonie. That's very impressive.
That prize back for you.
When we drop it off, no one will be able to find her.
We love our callers. Bad parenting, all of yous.
That was the tip of the bad parenting iceberg.
I should
point out there'll be plenty more of those to come.
You bet. We are giving you our favourite callers of 2018. More after this. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
It is our favourite callers for 2018 special with another mixed bag of calls.
Matt, dance floor injuries, you know any?
Yeah, mine's a double whammy on the same night. Two of my nephews were at a pub in Sawtell, which is up near Coffs Harbour, after a wedding. So, another worm injury. Nephew number one decides to do the worm whilst the band's playing and breaks his nose.
Oh.
Nephew number two, about 15 minutes later, is pulling a few kung fu moves whilst he's dancing. And this is a true story. His shoe comes flying off, sails across the entire on a dance floor area. It's the bass guitarist in the place. And the band just said, that's it. Can't really stop the band. And that was the end of the band.
Everybody was gone.
Oh, mate. The bass player in the head and its tools down.
Excellent work. Is it ever okay to steal from the breakfast buffet?
Yes.
Yes, very self-assured. I say yes.
I don't think I've ever made the breakfast buffet.
Fair enough.
The breakfast buffet beyond 11.
Let's go to Bryony.
Oh, Jane, I'm with you 100%. You pay for it, you get whatever you can eat. Get there and they've got their tiny little jam jars, marmalade, Dijon mustard, tomato sauce, everything. I looked at my husband, I said, they're good Christmas presents. So I took about 50 of them.
You took 50?
How many did you take?
50. Yeah,
50 of them.
Okay, Bryony, this there could be an investigation.
We might have stretched it a little far. And Bryony's...
I've got all little jars. I've got a few aunts and uncles, so they're going in a little box, and that's what they're getting for Christmas.
Well done.
There you go. Hey, Australia.
Christmas shopping and brekkie in one fell swoop.
That's it.
So proud of you all. And, Mick, see, you learn something new every day on this show.
Have you sent something to the wrong person? Have you been busted trying to do something amorous and it hasn't worked out? Sean, what did you do?
My now wife and I just got engaged, so we were organising a family dinner to tell everyone, so I both sent the ferrets, etc.
Yep.
And middle of summer, so cook up a big barbie, the wife's going out that day to get the hair done, etc., etc., and she sends me a message, have you got dinner started? I just got out of the shower, so I took the old GP with a hair drying expert, and I said, dinner is getting warmed up now, and sent it to her mum. Who was on the way that night?
Oh,
dear.
And did you get a reply from that, from the mum?
I hope the sausages are bigger for dinner.
Talking about getting your learners.
Hello, Rob.
All my learners, like this is back in 87, I'm driving a laser with a big apple on the roof, a big L on it. The lights, and these four blokes in a holded up Commodore are laughing at me. Like, jumping forward like they were a drag race.
Yeah.
And my teacher goes, do you reckon you could take them?
No
doubt at all. No doubt at all, because I could drive. So I'm reading the lights, and they're laughing, their heads are on, and I've just nailed it. Open off the tiles. Jerked in the third, just totally cooked them. Like Boots of Hazard.
Well, this sounds like you've already gone past the 3-point turn,
yes,
Rob. So,
and you showed those guys, those
we can't
asses.
Condone it, no. But as bloody funny, and those idiots in the Commodore.
Got the image of a laser with an apple on the top. Yeah.
What's the stupidest thing you've ever gotten a fight over?
Hello, Brad.
This will let you know how long ago this was. My cousin and I got in a fight that ended up with one of us going through a plate glass window over whether what was better, potato gems or pomme noisette.
It's a big moment when your teenager's boyfriend stays over for the first time.
My daughter's boyfriend came to stay and did a reverse kanga in the toilet, so he was never allowed to come again.
Carmel, stop it.
How do you know it was him?
No one else had been in it. It was only him.
Hey, Carmel, he's a keeper.
No, he wasn't.
We were talking about token offers. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
Really good, mate. What's going on?
My wife and I were moving to England for work, and we had a couple of weeks stopover in Thailand and went to a bar and met an Irishman and sort of said, if you're ever over in England, we're going to be in such and such a town, come and look us up. And about 6 months later, he did. And stayed for about 2 weeks and drank all of our beer and wasn't a real good house guest. But the next year, we shifted to a different town in England.
Yeah.
He lobbed up to, and checked around with our old next door neighbours and found our address.
New address.
Turned up again.
Oh no!
That's fantastic.
Well, it's the smartest Irishman around.
You are listening to our favourite callers of 2018 special.
Your new way to drive home.
Who have we got on the show tomorrow?
We have got Eric Idle.
Unbelievable. This is just going to be...
We're just talking about it and talking about, well, growing up, being fat.
Just one of the greats. Just an enormous giant in our field. And you go...
And inspirational and a role model.
But it's kind of depressing because you go, oh, you want to do it justice? And I'm sitting here going, how the hell do you compress his lifetime of achievements into two
five-minute
breaks sandwiched in between a go-go song or whatever?
Or the killers. I know.
business. So that's a tough one, but yeah. I'm
so
looking
you know what?
Forward,
we'd love to play tomorrow, and I swear, Fitzy's at the Arias, I think, tonight, is he?
This.
He won't
oh,
be here.
He'll be off his chops. Let's,
we'll play Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, which Eric Idle wrote. So,
well,
you know,
we'll play that. Yeah. Mm. That's the most played song at funerals.
Is that
Always
right?
Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. And the greatest finish to a film. And by the way, one of my favourite films of all time, Life of Brian, magnificent story. Wouldn't have been made without George Harrison.
Exactly.
Was picketed. It's a comedy. How many comedies have released have been picketed
so
worldwide?
Clever.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, we're.
He also did the musical, Eric Idle.
Robert McKee, who wrote a whole book about. About categorizing films and film scripts, he had a graph designed to show you what category they fitted into. It was the only film he couldn't put into.
No kidding.
He goes, it's a musical, it's historical, it's a drama, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
He goes, I cannot
can't categorize
it. So there
all
it
right,
is.
Right, we'll have a think overnight.
Yeah,
what we can
Eric
ask.
Idle.
Also, Scotty Pape's on the show tomorrow.
Oh, Papey.
You know. And in fact, here's a guy who has just knocked off the best-selling writers in the country with his books on financial.
Yeah. Well, I taught him everything you know.
I thought you did, yeah. I'm sure Scott wants to discuss that.
He comes to me often.
Does he?
Ask me for advice. Have you seen this? What am I looking at here?
This
is the biggest cow in the history of the world.
I don't understand.
It's a cow named Knickers.
But is this a real? Is this
real?
Real?
It's real. This cow is eight
looks
times the size. It looks like
this is doing the
like
rounds.
About eight blokes in a cow costume.
Yes. Right. You'll see this all over the interweb. Mm. It's as a cow in Western Australia called Knickers because of the
that should have been my
size.
Cow. You know we bought
I
a cow.
Know.
That should be Malloy. we should check in with Kennedy Malloy.
We'll do that.
See how the cows are going before the end of the year.
I've
Let's
got a bad feeling
that.
About them.
We put a photo up
of the bell.
Really?
This cowbell would be too small.
I think
for
Kennedy
that,
will be alive, but I think Malloy would have cucked it.
Well, Malloy will be tasty if I get my hands on him.
Really?
Look at the size of that cow.
A Holstein Friesian cow.
I've just posted it on our Twitter and tuck it up on
like
Instagram.
A joke.
Here's
We're
the
not
good news.
Around.
Do you know what? They can't kill this cow. Too big. Can't fit it in the abattoir.
Imagine that on the Barbie. Imagine that little spit out the back.
Matt Preston will give it a crack though, won't he?
He will. Hey, thanks for the show, everybody, today. we'll see you tomorrow with Eric Idle.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.